Chapter 41. A love child, apostrophe returned Betty Higdon, dropping her voice. Parents never known. Found in the street. He was brought up in the apostrophe with a shiver of repugnance. Apostrophe the house. Apostrophe the poor house. Apostrophe apostrophe said the secretary. Mrs. Higdon set that resolute old face of hers, and darkly nodded yes. You dislike the mention of it. Apostrophe, dislike the mention of it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, answered the old woman. Kill me sooner than take me there. Throw this pretty child under cart horses' feet and a loaded wagon, sooner than take him there. Come to us, and find us all a dying, and set a light to us all, where we lie, and let us all blaze away with the house into a heap of cinders sooner than move a corpse of us there. Apostrophe, apostrophe, a surprising spirit in this lonely woman after so many years of hard working and hard living, my lords and gentlemen and honorable boards. What is it that we call it in our grandiose speeches? British independence, rather perverted? Is that, or something like it, the ring of the cant? Do I never read in the newspapers? Apostrophe said the dame, fondling the child, God help me, and the like of me, how the worn-out people, that do come down to that, get driven from post to pillar, and pillar to post, a purpose to tire them out. Do I never read how they are put off, how they are grudged, the shelter, or the doctor, or the drop of physic, or the bit of bread? Do I never read how they grow heartsick of it, and give it up, after having let themselves drop so low, and how they after all die out for want of help? Then I say, I hope I can die as well as another, and I'll die without that disgrace. Apostrophe, absolutely impossible, my lords and gentlemen and honorable boards, by any stretch of legislative wisdom, to set these perverse people right in their logic. Johnny, my pretty, apostrophe continued old Betty, caressing the child, and rather mourning over it than speaking to it, your old granny Betty is nigher 80 than 90. She never begged, nor had a penny of the union money in all her life. She paid Scott, and she paid Lot, when she had money to pay, she worked when she could, and she starved when she must. You pray that your granny may have strength enough left her at the last. She's strong for an old one, Johnny, to get up from her bed and run, and hide herself and swound to death in a hole, sooner than fall into the hands of those cruel jacks we read of that dodge and drive, and worry and weary, and scorn and shame, the decent poor. Apostrophe, a brilliant success, my lords and gentlemen and honorable boards. To have brought it to this in the minds of the best of the poor. Under submission, might it be worth thinking of at any odd time? The fright and abhorrence that Mrs. Betty Higdon smoothed out of her strong face as she ended this diversion showed how seriously she had meant it. And does he work for you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked the secretary, gently bringing the discourse back to Master or Mr. Sloppy. Yes, apostrophe said Betty with a good-humored smile and nod of the head. And well too. Apostrophe, does he live here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he lives more here than anywhere. He was thought to be no better than a natural, and first come to me as a minder. I made interest with Mr. Block the beadle, to have him as a minder, seeing him by chance up a church, and thinking I might do something with him. For he was a weak rickety creature then. Apostrophe, is he called by his right name? Apostrophe, apostrophe, why, you see, speaking quite correctly, he has no right name. I always understood he took his name from being found on a sloppy night. Apostrophe, he seems an amiable fellow. Apostrophe, bless you, sir, there's not a bit of him, apostrophe returned Betty, that's not amiable. So you may judge how amiable he is, by running your eye along his haith. Apostrophe, of an ungainly make was Sloppy. Too much of him longwise, too little of him broadwise, and too many sharp angles of him anglewise. One of those shambling male human creatures, born to be indiscreetly candid in the revelation of buttons, every button he had about him glaring at the public to a quite preternatural extent. A considerable capital of Nian elbow and wrist and ankle, at sloppy, and he didn't know how to dispose of it to the best advantage, but was always investing it in wrong securities, and so getting himself into embarrassed circumstances. Full private number one in the upward squad of the rank and file of life, was sloppy, and yet had his glimmering notions of standing true to the colors. And now, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin, concerning Johnny. Apostrophe, as Johnny, with his chin tucked in and lips pouting, reclined in Betty's lap, concentrating his blue eyes on the visitors and shading them from observation with a dimpled arm, old Betty took one of his fresh fat hands in her withered right, and fell to gently beating it on her withered left. Yes, ma'am. Concerning Johnny. Apostrophe, if you trust the dear child to me, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin, with a face inviting trust, he shall have the best of homes, the best of care, the best of education, the best of friends. Please God, I will be a true good mother to him. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am thankful to you, ma'am, and the dear child would be thankful, if he was old enough to understand. Apostrophe still lightly beating the little hand upon her own. I wouldn't stand in the dear child's light, not if I had all my life before me instead of a very little of it. But I hope you won't take it ill, that I cleave to the child closer than words can tell, for he's the last living thing left me. Apostrophe, take it ill, my dear soul? Is it likely? And you so tender of him, as to bring him home here? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have seen, apostrophe said Betty, still with that light beat upon her hard rough hand, so many of them on my lap. And they are all gone but this one. I am ashamed to seem so selfish, but I don't really mean it. It'll be the making of his fortune, and he'll be a gentleman when I am dead. I don't know what comes over me. I try against it. Don't notice me. Apostrophe, the light beat stopped, the resolute mouth gave way, and the fine strong old face broke up into weakness and tears. Now, greatly to the relief of the visitors, the emotional sloppy no sooner beheld his patroness in this condition, than, throwing back his head and throwing open his mouth, he lifted up his voice and bellowed. This alarming note of something wrong instantly terrified Toddles and Poddles, who were no sooner heard to roar surprisingly, than Johnny, curving himself the wrong way and striking out at Mrs. Boffin with a pair of indifferent shoes, became a prey to despair. The absurdity of the situation put its pathos to the rout. Mrs. Betty Higdon was herself in a moment, and brought them all to order with that speed, that sloppy, stopping short in a polysyllabic bellow, transferred his energy to the mangle, and had taken several penitential turns, before he could be stopped. There, there, there. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Boffin, almost regarding her kind self as the most ruthless of women. Nothing is going to be done. Nobody need be frightened. We're all comfortable, ain't we, Mrs. Higdon? Apostrophe, apostrophe, sure and certain we are, apostrophe returned Betty. And there really is no hurry, you know, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin in a lower voice. Take time to think of it, my good creature. Apostrophe, don't you fear me no more, ma'am, apostrophe said Betty. I thought of it for good yesterday. I don't know what come over me just now, but it'll never come again. Apostrophe, well then, Johnny shall have more time to think of it, apostrophe returned Mrs. Boffin. The pretty child shall have time to get used to it. And you'll get him more used to it, if you think well of it, won't you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Betty undertook that, cheerfully and readily. Lor, apostrophe cried Mrs. Boffin, looking radiantly about her, we want to make everybody happy, not dismal. And perhaps you wouldn't mind letting me know how used to it you begin to get, and how it all goes on. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I'll send sloppy, apostrophe said Mrs. Higdon. And this gentleman who has come with me will pay him for his trouble, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin. And Mr. Sloppy, whenever you come to my house, be sure you never go away without having had a good dinner of meat, beer, vegetables, and pudding. apostrophe, this still further brightened the face of affairs. 4. The highly sympathetic Sloppy, first broadly staring and grinning, and then roaring with laughter, Toddles, and Poddles followed suit, and Johnny trumped the trick. TNP, considering these favorable circumstances for the resumption of that dramatic descent upon Johnny, again came across country hand in hand upon the buccaneering expedition. And this having been fought out in the chimney corner behind Mrs. Higdon's chair, with great valor on both sides, those desperate pirates returned hand in hand to their stools, across the dry bed of a mountain torrent. You must tell me what I can do for you, Betty, my friend, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin confidentially, if not today, next time. Apostrophe, thank you all the same, ma'am, but I want nothing for myself. I can work. I'm strong. I can walk 20 mile, if I'm put to it. Apostrophe, old Betty was proud, and said it with a sparkle in her bright eyes. Yes, but there are some little comforts that you wouldn't be the worse for, apostrophe returned Mrs. Boffin. Bless ye, I wasn't born a lady any more than you. Apostrophe, it seems to me, apostrophe said Betty, smiling, that you were born a lady, and a true one, or there never was a lady born. But I couldn't take anything from you, my dear. I never did take anything from anyone. It ain't that I'm not grateful, but I love to earn it better. Apostrophe, well, well. Apostrophe, apostrophe returned Mrs. Boffin. I only spoke of little things, or I wouldn't have taken the liberty. Apostrophe, Betty put her visitor's hand to her lips, in acknowledgement of the delicate answer. Wonderfully upright her figure was, and wonderfully self-reliant her look, as, standing facing her visitor, she explained herself further. If I could have kept the dear child, without the dread that's always upon me of his coming to that fate I have spoken of, I could never have parted with him, even to you. For I love him, I love him, I love him. I love my husband long dead and gone, in him. I love my children dead and gone, in him. I love my young and hopeful days dead and gone, in him. I couldn't sell that love, and look you in your bright kind face. It's a free gift. I am in want of nothing. When my strength fails me, if I can but die out quick and quiet, I shall be quite content. I have stood between my dead and that shame I have spoken of, and it has been kept off from every one of them. Sewed into my gown, apostrophe with her hand upon her breast, is just enough to lay me in the grave. Only see that it's rightly spent, so as I may rest free to the last from that cruelty and disgrace, and you'll have done much more than a little thing for me, and all that in this present world my heart is set upon. Apostrophe, Mrs. Betty Higdon's visitor pressed her hand. There was no more breaking up of the strong old face into weakness. My lords and gentlemen and honorable boards, it really was as composed as our own faces, and almost as dignified. And now, Johnny was to be inveigled into occupying a temporary position on Mrs. Boffin's lap. It was not until he had been piqued into competition with the two diminutive minders, by seeing them successively raised to that post and retire from it without injury, that he could be by any means induced to leave Mrs. Betty Higdon's skirts, towards which he exhibited, even when in Mrs. Boffin's embrace, strong yearnings, spiritual and bodily, the former expressed in a very gloomy visage, the latter in extended arms. However, a general description of the toy wonders lurking in Mr. Boffin's house so far conciliated this worldly-minded orphan as to induce him to stare at her frowningly, with a fist in his mouth, and even at length, to chuckle when a richly caparisoned horse on wheels, with a miraculous gift of cantering to cake shops, was mentioned. This sound being taken up by the minders, swelled into a rapturous trio which gave general satisfaction. So, the interview was considered very successful, and Mrs. Boffin was pleased, and all were satisfied. Not least of all, Sloppy, who undertook to conduct the visitors back by the best way to the Three Magpies, and whom the hammer-headed young man much despised. this piece of business thus put in train, the secretary drove Mrs. Boffin back to the bower, and found employment for himself at the new house until evening. Whether, when evening came, he took a way to his lodgings, that led through fields, with any design of finding Miss Bella Wilfer in those fields, is not so certain as that she regularly walked there at that hour. And, moreover, it is certain, that there she was. No longer in mourning, Miss Bella was dressed in as pretty colors as she could muster. There is no denying, that she was as pretty as they, and that she and the colors went very prettily together. She was reading as she walked, and of course it is to be inferred, from her showing, no knowledge of Mr. Oaksmith's approach, that she did not know he was approaching. Eh? Said Miss Bella, raising her eyes from her book, when he stopped before her. Oh! It's you! Only one. A fine evening! Is it? Said Bella, looking coldly round. I suppose it is, now you mention it. I have not been thinking of the evening. So intent upon your book? Replied Bella, with a drawl of indifference. A love story, Miss Wilfer? Oh dear no, or I shouldn't be reading it. It's more about money than anything else. And does it say that money is better than anything? Upon my word, returned Bella, I forget what it says, but you can find out for yourself if you like, Mr. Oaksmith. I don't want it anymore. The secretary took the book she had fluttered the leaves, as if it were a fan and walked beside her. I am charged with a message for you, Miss Wilfer. Impossible, I think. Said Bella, with another drawl. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.